In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, once again, we come into your presence to pray. And today we pray about Our Lady, our Mother, that very favorite topic of all of us, that Mother of ours who now reigns in heaven. And we pray about her as Ark of the Covenant, a title which we pray about in the Litany of Loreto after the Rosary. We call her Ark of the Covenant. Pray for us. Why is she the Ark of the Covenant? We go back to the Old Testament, in which God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, and he commands that they make an ark in which to keep those commandments, the two tablets of stone. The commandments were the word of God about how to live a moral life, and God specified every aspect of that ark, its width, its height, its length, the beautiful acacia wood, the cherubs on top of the ark facing one another, the two poles with which to carry the ark from one place to another. And the ark was kept in that tent while they were in those 40 days in the desert before entering the promised land. And only after King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem would the ark have its resting place in the temple. There it was behind that great curtain which separated the Holy of Holies, the most holy part of the temple, from the rest of the temple where the sacrifices were offered, where the various rites were carried out. Only once in a year did someone enter into that Holy of Holies where the ark was, and that was the high priest on the feast of Yom Kippur. He would sprinkle the blood of animals in that holy part, the Holy of Holies. The ark was kept there until around the year 586. The temple was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar, who brought the Israelites into captivity in Babylon. And from then on, the ark was nowhere to be seen. But we call Mary the Ark of the Covenant because she brought you, Lord, into the world. She carried you in her womb. She is the new Ark of the Covenant because you are the very Word of God. If God gave his word to Moses in the Ten Commandments, now Mary brings not only the Word of God in words, but the very Word of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, into the world. And we read the account in St. Luke's Gospel. Mary is in the house of her parents in Nazareth, when suddenly, in an ordinary day, that young girl, perhaps 12, 13, 14 years of age, betrothed already to St. Joseph, suddenly has a visit from an angel, a surprising visit. Perhaps she was working with her mother, and suddenly an angel appears and announces to her, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This son to be born, if Mary says yes, will be the very Son of God, the Son of the Most High. He will sit on the throne of his father David. He will be a king, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Earthly kingdoms come to an end. The kingdom of the one to be born of Mary will have no end. It will not be a human kingdom, but a spiritual one, a supernatural one. And the angel goes on to tell Mary how she will conceive this son. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. You will not conceive by Joseph, to whom you are betrothed. You will conceive in a miraculous way by the Holy Spirit. And the son to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Word of God. And with her fiat, her yes, Mary becomes truly the Ark of the New Covenant. And then the angel gives her a sign. Your aging relative Elizabeth, your kinswoman, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. She had not been able to have children, for with God, nothing will be impossible. And just as Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived in a miraculous way, you, Mary, will conceive in your womb a son by the Holy Spirit in a miraculous way. And Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary trusts in the word of this angel, obviously sent by God. She accepts immediately that offer. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And we ask Our Lady, Mary, help me to be docile to the will of God like you were. No matter what God is asking of me, the ordinary things in my day, get out of bed, start that job, stop and pray, be kind to those around you, whatever God is asking, Mary, help me to be docile, to say yes immediately, and not only to say yes, but to do it. Blessed Alvaro del Portillo, commenting on Mary's docility to God, says, Mary said yes, and she did yes all her life. This is so important. And Mary, we ask you, help me to be docile too, because doing the will of God is holiness. St. Alphonsus tells us that all of holiness consists in the love of God, and all of the love of God consists in doing his will. And with her yes, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Mary has been told that her aging relative Elizabeth in the hill country of Judah is now in her sixth month, carrying a child. What great news! And perhaps Mary's thought process could have gone along this line. I will send her a message. Congratulations, I am delighted to hear that you are finally having a child. But no, she goes beyond that. She is not going to send a message. She will go there herself. But everything is against going. Mary's carrying a child too. Maybe she should get someone to look after her. Elizabeth doesn't need anyone to help her. Her husband Zechariah is there. There are other women in that town. They will help her when she needs it. She doesn't really need me. It's a long way to Ein Kerim, which is the town just outside of Jerusalem, where Elizabeth lived with her husband Zechariah. It's a very difficult journey. It would take a week or so to get there. Undoubtedly, if she wants to go, Joseph will accompany her. She doesn't want to be separated from Joseph. She loves him. He loves her. They have to plan for their wedding. They are betrothed, but the final ceremony, generally about a year after the betrothal, will be the wedding ceremony, when Joseph will go to the house where Mary lives with her parents and take her to his own home, and then that great wedding feast will follow. Every reason is against going, but Mary, in her generosity, goes. She makes that long journey. And we read it in St. Luke's Gospel immediately after the passage of the Annunciation. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. She goes immediately in those days and with haste. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth praises Mary, but she is moved by the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit could she have known that this young girl, this young relative of hers, is carrying a child. Mary has just conceived Jesus in her womb, but already Elizabeth is calling her blessed for bearing a child. And she says, and let us repeat the words, "Blessed are you among women." This young girl is blessed among all women. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth knew that Mary was carrying a child. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb," because this child is not just one more child. He is truly blessed, and blessed are you because of that fruit of your womb. "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The child in your womb is my Lord, is God, and you are the mother of God. You are the new Ark of the Covenant. You carry not only the tablets of stone, you carry God's Word, God Himself, in your womb. "For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Mary carries Jesus to visit Elizabeth. Mary will stay for 3 months. What generosity! And we ask Our Lady, "Mary, help me to be generous like that, to put myself out for others." Practically on a daily basis, there are others around us who need at least a smile, a kind word. Perhaps to ask them, "How are you? You look a bit tired. You look a bit sick." They need help with something they are doing. And Mary goes all that way to visit Elizabeth and spends 3 months helping her. "Mary, help me to be generous, to think of others, not of myself." "Mary, you overcame all the reasons for not going because it was more important for you to go. And when you went, you didn't stay there for a week or two. You stayed for 3 months, helping Elizabeth, bringing that joy." When we help others, when we are concerned about others, we bring joy to them too. "Mary, help me to be generous as you were." Elizabeth praises you. She praises you 3 times. "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Blessed are you because you believe what the angel had said to you, that you would conceive by the Holy Spirit. And now Mary responds to that with another lesson for us. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." All generations will call me blessed, as you, Elizabeth, have called me blessed. because God has looked on me with his favor. It's all God's work. That whole Magnificat is a praise to God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul praises the Lord, praises God. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. It's his work, not mine. I have conceived not by Joseph, not by the ordinary human means. I have conceived a child because God has given me that child through the Holy Spirit. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. I am just a young girl. God has looked upon me with his favor on the lowest state of his handmaiden, of his servant. A hymn of humility. Mary, help me to look upon myself like that. Whatever I have done, it's all God's work. Everything I am is God's work. Everything I do is God's work. Help me, like you, Mary, to see that it is God's work, not my own. And all generations will call her blessed because God has done this for her. Mary, you are God's most exalted creature. You are the mother of God. You are the daughter of God. You are the spouse of God. And you regard yourself as the lowly handmaiden. Help me, who am nothing, who am just an ordinary human being, to praise God too for everything that he has done in me. Mary, you give us so many lessons, and you are the Ark of the Covenant, carrying God in your womb. And then you will give birth to God in Bethlehem, in those humble circumstances of a stable, perhaps in a cave, according to the tradition. God is born there. You welcome God into the world, and you contemplate that spectacle of this helpless infant wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying there in that feeding trough for animals in the manger. You have given birth to God. You, the Ark of the Covenant, have brought that word now into the world, presenting him to the world. And Lord, we bring you into the world too, because we have you in our soul. When we are in this state of grace, you together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, takes up residence in our soul. We are temples of the Blessed Trinity. And wherever we go, we bring God too. We bring God by our word, by our kindness, by our smile, by our faith. People can be moved by our presence, by our talking about God, by our faith, about our prayer life, about our belief in God waiting for us in heaven. We bring God into the world. We are like Mary, the Ark of the Covenant, bringing the word of God into the lives of others. And Lord, you say that. We open the Gospel of St. Mark to the third chapter. And his mother and his brethren came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting about him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brethren are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brethren?" And looking around on those who sat about him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brethren. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Lord, by doing your will, by bringing you into our life, by bringing you then into the lives of others, we become your mother. We become the Ark of the Covenant too. We have that great mission to bring you into the lives of so many who do not know you, especially at this present time when so few Catholics are even practicing their faith, to announce to them the joy of being a practicing Catholic, of attending Mass, of worshiping God there, of thanking him for all of his blessings, of listening to your word in the scriptures. of receiving you in Holy Communion, when you come into our soul in that substantial, sacramental way. We become Christ's. And you said that, Lord, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. Lord, in communion, we live in you. You live in us. We are one with you. We are truly the Ark of the Covenant, and help us to receive you often. Help us to bring you into the lives of many others so that they can share our joy and be firmly on the way to heaven. And so Mary lives now her hidden life, those many years, until finally you die on the cross and she is there with you, accompanying you. You die on the cross, and before you die, you entrust your mother to St. John. Behold your mother. And to Mary, behold your son. And John takes her into his own keeping. And after, Lord, you ascend into heaven, John looks after Mary according to the tradition in that house in Ephesus. And then finally, Mary will come to the end of her life. We don't know how old she was. She was about 50 or so when you died on the cross. Maybe she lived another 10 or 20 years, we don't know. But finally, she comes to the end of her life, and according to the tradition, at least to one tradition, she was in Jerusalem at the time. She was dying, coming to the end of her life. The apostles who were around gathered around her, accompanied her, and according to several of the fathers of the church, they saw her when she died. They carried her body to a church of the Dormition just outside of Jerusalem near the Garden of Gethsemane. One can visit that church today. There they kept watch over her body, and then they saw the angels come and take her into heaven, body and soul. And now we can go to the book of Revelation, because we have a revelation of Mary in heaven. It is the first reading in the Feast of the Assumption of Mary into heaven. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. And there were flashes of lightning, loud noises, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child, and she cried out in her pangs of birth, in anguish for delivery. And the fathers of the church saw in that Ark of the Covenant Mary. Mary is that woman clothed with the sun, a crown of 12 stars, and with child. She is the new Ark of the Covenant in all of her glory. And that is what we celebrate with Mary's Assumption. We honor her in heaven, where she stands next to the Blessed Trinity. The Church understands that in that hierarchy of heaven, first, of course, comes the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And next to the Blessed Trinity is Mary, above even the angels. And we know angels are superior to humans by their nature. But Mary is queen of the angels. She is above the angels, next to her only God. And perhaps our own piety might say Joseph should be there too. We don't know. But perhaps Joseph is there with Mary and Jesus, and so the Holy Family is reunited in heaven. And then after the angels, all the blessed, those great saints, and all of our loved ones, our relatives, those who have helped us get to heaven, those for whom we prayed, perhaps when they were sick or dying or during their lifetime, to get to heaven. We helped get them to heaven, they from heaven, helped us get to heaven, and we are reunited with them too, and we go to heaven to rejoice. And there we see Our Lady, Ark of the Covenant, in all her glory. But meanwhile, we have to live our life here on earth, and we will suffer temptations. And so this passage in the book of Revelation goes on. After telling us that Mary is there with child, crying out in her pangs of birth in anguish for delivery, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems upon his heads. His tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child, that he might devour her child when she brought it forth. She brought forth a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which to be nourished for 1,260 days. The devil, the dragon, wages war on the woman, on Mary, on the church, on us. We are tempted throughout our life. We will be tempted in different ways, but we have all the power of Our Lady, who defeats the dragon. Her offspring, Jesus, crushes the head of the serpent, following that passage in the book of Genesis, where the devil appears and tempts Adam and Eve, and God says to the serpent, I will set enmity between your offspring and her offspring, and we will be tempted. But Mary's offspring, Jesus, crushes the head of the serpent, following that prophecy in the book of Genesis. And we are the ones that are tempted. The church is under siege. We pray for the church. We pray for the Holy Father. We pray for the bishops and priests and religious. We pray for all the lay faithful, that they may be faithful to God when tempted by the devil. The devil is having many victories today. But at the same time, we know so many people are coming into the church. And we are tempted too. But we have St. Michael praying for us. And this passage goes on. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. We have St. Michael on our side too. Lord, help us to be faithful until the end. And Mary, our mother, Ark of the Covenant, you who brought Jesus into the world are our mother and the mother of God. You are all-powerful in your intercession in heaven. Help me to live the virtues that you lived, that generosity, that humility, that sanctification of your ordinary life, and now your powerful intercession in heaven. Help me to go through my life, sanctify my ordinary life, fighting off the temptations of the devil, until one day God will call me and I can be with you and Saint Joseph and Jesus and the Blessed Trinity and the angels and all the saints in heaven. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.